Morning, just to leave off, Brian and I had a brief discussion yesterday at the end, just a couple of comments on the last Mishnah before we leave, on the Agadata at the end, which obviously Agadata is one of the, as you guys I'm sure know from your travels through Shas, Agadata is one of the areas that has so much depth. There's a book by Rabbi Wiederblank of YU, actually a series of books, the Ritz Hashkafa series. So I'm reading through one of them. I have it on my phone. Got it for whatever it was, $5-$10 to download on my phone as a Kindle book. So I read it when I'm, you know, stuck at a bus stop somewhere or something like that. Anyways, in there he brings, I was reading a section about Agadata, and I think it was from the Vilna Gaon that he brought, but he brought from a major authority that usually the more obscure the Agadata, the more deeper the message is you can get from it. I'm not here to darshan the Agadata, but just to briefly recap, we made a siyum on Kinim yesterday, finished up really all the really, really rough Mishnayos. I'll be glad to be going back to more traditional Gemara territory, where you got Gemara and Rashi and Tosfos, and a little bit less having to twist your mind into pretzels. But regardless, the Mishnah concludes with first the statement of Rabbi Yehoshua, that's somewhat agadic in nature, that when the animal is alive, it makes one noise, but when it's dead, it makes more noises, 7 or 8 noises, and detailing the different instruments that can be made from the animal. And then we had a statement from Rabbi Shimon ben Akashia, who again I presumed was the brother of Rabbi Hanani ben Akashia. He says that as Amei Haaretz, which we explained yesterday, doesn't just mean people that didn't learn. We're not talking about a Tinok Shenishba type of situation, but rather people that really had some negative qualities to them. Kol Zman Shemazkinim, anytime they get old, Daitan Mitarefes Aleihen, they lose their knowledge, they lose their abilities, as we have a pasuk, one pasuk from Eov, and then Ziknei Torah, but elders, Chachamim, the older they get, they get datan mityashevet aleihen. Perhaps their wisdom improves. Perhaps it suits them well, I think is the is a good way to put it. And brings another pasuk to support that. Brian had asked, so what's this doing here? Why is this just put in at the end? So it's possible, like in some cases, if you look in Sidurim, at the end of each parak of Pirkei Avos, we have the statement of Rabbi Hanani ben Akashia, which the minhag was that they used to, before a Kaddish, they used to try to finish with a little piece of Agadata. That was the customary thing to do. So it's possible that that's why this was put here. But specifically why this piece was put here, the Mefarshim notes, as I mentioned briefly, after the recording went off, which is why I'm repeating it now, just as the longer things go, so whatever this animal was, okay? When it's alive, there's one voice. But when it gets older, and when it passes away, there are many voices. So too, Talmidei Chachamim, right? Kishehem mazkinim v'nechlashim begufam, tarbe chochmatam v'itchazek sichlam v'yosifu shlemut beruchaniyutam. Okay, which is from the Rambam and Bar Tanura. Just a very nice idea. There's a story they tell. They tell it about Yaakov Kamenetsky. I'm not 100% sure if it's actually from Yaakov Kamenetsky. People love telling stories of Yaakov Kamenetsky because he's awesome, among the many other Gedolim who are awesome. But Yaakov Kamenetsky, I particularly enjoy his Torah. I particularly enjoy stories. So the story they tell is he was in a conversation with someone who asked him, how come, you know, your children are behaving so nicely and so respectful of their elders, whereas my children don't respect my elders? And he said to him, what might be taken as a polemical statement, said, well, because I don't believe in evolution, you believe in evolution. When I don't believe in evolution, so every additional older generation is one generation closer to God. You, who do believe in evolution, everyone is one closer to monkeys. So again, taking it with a grain of salt, I think the important point is we have respect for elders, we have respect for their connection to Torah and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the way, even if we believe in evolution in whatever form or fashion, as a science teacher here, obviously there are many different ways of reconciling the evidence that we see with Torah, including accepting traditional scientific views. But whatever it is, the point is we realize that, again, the elders are closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are learned, and there's a lot to respect, not just from this Mishnah, but from many other Mishnahs. So anyways, just a nice little thought.
I'm going to word Miyashevet. Mm-hmm. Miyashevet, from the word Yoshev, the system. So what happens is that their knowledge becomes ingrained or is seated itself within the...
Yeah, that's a good translation. Seated. Yeah. The knowledge is seated.
Right.
Nice.
Because it meets in God, it gets ingrained and it's stuck in you and it doesn't go away.
Yeah. Okay.
Use of the word.
So we move on to Masechet Me'ilah, which I think is backwards for you guys, back to Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Not backwards in the Mishnayos that I was using, but of course now I'll have to use a Gemara, so we move back to that, just to give a brief intro. So Me'ilah is a hard word to translate. Me'ilah is some sort of transgression, and...
Sorry, is the introduction, is this being recorded, so I'll be able to go back and...
Yeah, everything's on the recording, even the first part. That's why I repeated the first part. I said it yesterday to some of the people after the shiur, so that's why I re-recorded it. But yeah, hopefully everything will be recorded and made available. Again, I try to upload them every few days, so you have the link, and hopefully you can access them.
Got it, just to clarify, thank you.
For sure. No problem. So basically, Mi'ilah comes from the language of the Torah in a few places. It's a form of rebellion, it's a form of transgression. What it practically means is inappropriately using or making or performing some sort of damage to temple property. Okay, that's really what it practically means. Okay, there's a special Korban Asham that is brought for this. Based on the Pesukim, we mentioned it, the Asham Me'ilos. We mentioned it if you say full Korbanos every day. That's why we stop 5 minutes early, so you can say a little bit more of the Korbanos before you're davening. Okay? Basically, it means when you benefit in some form or fashion, and we will go through all of this in the actual Masechet, but from benefiting at least to Shava Pruta, or damaging it, or things like that. Again, we'll discuss this in greater detail, but that's the basic idea of what Me'ilah is. Again, Me'ilah is in some way benefiting or damaging property that is kadosh, specifically korbanos, we're going to be talking about to begin
makes
with.
Makes the particular person responsible for the act. This is how he explains it. He says, as Me'ilah is oseket bechayavim, chayuvim shemid yachev adam hamo'el behekdesh. So it's a sin that it involves on the particular person that does this act of Me'ilah.
Right. So
that's what explains it.
Right.
It's okay. I'm not correcting you. I'm just saying it's an additional understanding.
So right. Meaning?
If the Kohen does it, he's guilty of the Me'ilah. Right?
Right.
And he's got to do the other...
Right.
The Avodah again.
I think certain Mishnayos deal with the person, certain deal with the circumstances, we'll start with. But ultimately, okay, what happens if you're mulligan? We said the Asham Me'ilos, in addition to having to repay it plus basically a quarter of the value, which means it will come out to a fifth of the total amount that you pay will have been extra money. And again, we'll discuss all this as you go through. This is just stuff that you can find in various introductions. I'm sure you can find them in the Art Scrolls. I'm sure you can find them elsewhere. The important thing to say before the first Mishnah, probably the most important thing to say before the first Mishnah is, okay, where you have the language of Me'ilah in the positive, it means Me'ilah is relevant to that case. Where you have the language of Me'ilah in the negative, it means Me'ilah is not relevant to that case. Let me repeat that one more time. Anytime you have the language of Me'ilah in the positive, it means there is Me'ilah in that case. Whereas if you have Me'ilah in the negative, it means there is no Me'ilah in that case. This will be particularly confusing because sometimes it will sound like, and again, you'll see this as early as the first Mishnah, Mo'alin Ba. What does Mo'alin Ba mean? You might translate it as, it is permitted to do Me'ilah. No. Anytime you have a positive, it means Me'ilah is relevant here. Anytime you have a negative, in Mo'alin Ba, it does not mean you cannot be Mo'el. It means Me'ilah is not applicable to this case. Okay, so that's the just just a language thing that it's worthwhile to, again, be aware of. This is from the Kahati introduction, but it's very relevant pretty much to every single case. And again, we'll talk to you about all of the questions that you have right now in an introduction. A good introduction, by the way, is always written after you've completed your course of study. I think this is the case with all serious works. You can't write an introduction if you haven't studied it yet. The idea is that someone else who has learned it is now going to share their wisdom with you. Now they have finished, this would have been valuable to know in advance. So that's really what an introduction is. But we'll see all of the rest of the details that you might come up with as we go through. Let's begin. Kodshei Kodashim. Okay, so the brand, the type of korbanot, which are considered Kodshei Kodashim. Okay, so quite a few. That again we list in Ezehu Mekoman, but the holier of the type, Sheshachtan Badarom. Now, the halacha is the Shechita of Kodshei Kodashim has to be in the north part, Shechitatan Batzafon. That's the ideal place. What happens if you slaughtered them in the south? Okay, so are they valid? If you slaughtered them in the wrong place?
Yeah, they are.
The assumption is that here they are not.
Okay?
I
had a 50%.
Yeah, yeah. Right? So let's take a look at Rashi. Kodshei Kodashim Sheshachtan Badarom. Afal gav didinan lishachit batzafon. Even though those that are required to be slaughtered in the north. Lo yatzu mikdushat. Even though they're required to be slaughtered in the north. Lo yatzu mikdushatan. They do not lose their kedusha legabe mi'ila. Because the next words are mo'alin bahem. The mi'ila does still apply here. Shehanen emehen shave pruta ma'al. Okay, because one who benefited from them, Shava Pruta, still has to, that one who benefited them from Shava Pruta still has to, Ketzad, Shachtan, etc. Delo tema Shachtan Madaron v'kibul deman batzafon, dehave ikar avoda de mikabal av elach mitzvah skuna, mikabal av elach havi batzafon, ala afilu Shachtan batzafon kibul deman badarom, af al gav de kabala dainu ikar avoda hi badarom, Shelo kedinan afilu hachi mo'alin bahen. Meaning the mi'ilah still applies. The Gemara will go into it. I thought maybe it talked about that. Maybe what the halacha was, but I think that's. May be the case. Okay, I'll have to go look at that. Okay, so kodshei kodashim sheshachtan badarom. Again, if you slaughtered them in the wrong place, mo'alin bahen, there is still mi'ilah. Shachtan badarom vekibel daman batzafon. If you slaughtered them here, but did the acceptance of the blood there, batzafon vekibel daman badarom, or if you slaughtered them in the correct place, but did the acceptance of the blood when it was bleeding and you gathered the blood, you did that in the incorrect location, shachat bayom vizarak balayla, or you slaughtered it during the day and you sprinkled his blood at night, balayla vizarak bayom, or you slaughtered it at night and you sprinkled his blood during the day, Osha shachtan chutzlizmano, or you slaughtered it at the wrong time, v'chutzlim komo, or at the wrong place. Okay? In all of these cases, mo'alin bahem, there is still mi'ila. Again, if you benefited from this animal, you have violated the laws of mi'ila. Klal, a rule. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua says the following. Kol shehayala shat heter lakohanim, any time that there was a moment that the Kohanim were permitted to it, in mo'alin ba, there is no transgression of me'ila if you benefit from it. V'kol shelo haya lashat heter la'kohanim, and any time there was not a point of permission for the Kohanim, mo'alin ba. Essentially what Rabbi Yehoshua is saying, again, as follows. So first, in the Mishnah, we spell out a number of cases in which there is me'ila. Those cases are, if the shechita was done in the wrong place, if slaughtering the animal was in the wrong location, okay, if accepting the blood was done in the inappropriate location, meaning you move the animal between the two, but the accepting the blood, as Rashi points out, as the Gemara will go into great detail, you would think is even more fundamental than shechita, okay.
Shad heter means there was a scintilla of time in which the Kohanim.
Right, I was. Let me get up to there. Yeah, let me get up to there, okay? Yeah. The next case is, again, where the timing of the korban was off. So Zrikat Hadam was done at the wrong time, it was done at night, or vice versa, Shechita was done at night, whereas the other one was done during the day, or you had Chutz L'Zmano and Chutz L'Mkomo. Okay, Rashi says these are references to the case of Pigul. Okay, it's not that you actually did the slaughtering at the wrong time or you actually did it in the wrong place, but rather you had thoughts, okay? You thought that you were going to eat this korban at the wrong time, right? Or you thought that you were going to eat it in the wrong place, okay? Meaning you had inappropriate thoughts. That is known as what's called pigul.
Does this masechta deal with pigul as well? Or is that a different one?
I think it's primarily in other masechtos, but as you see, there are references. But I believe it's primarily elsewhere. It's, I think, in Tzvachim. Okay? And note, says Rashi, that one of the two piguls is more intense. One you'll receive karis for, okay? Chutz lizmano, okay? Mm-hmm. If you thought to eat them at the wrong time, that has kares, but chutz limkomo, in the wrong thinking of the wrong place, actually doesn't get you kares. But the point is that, again, both of these, okay, all of these essentially six cases, okay, either you slaughtered them in the wrong place in the darom, or you kibel daman badarom, or you slaughtered during the, you did zrikas adam at night, or you did shkita at night, or you thought chutz lizmano, or you thought chutz limkomo. All of these six cases, says the Mishnah, moalin bahem. And then we get to the case that you were referencing, okay, that Rishu has a rule. Rishu has a rule. His rule is that any time it gets to the stage where it's kosher at the end of the whole process, and therefore the kohanim are entitled to eat their part, that's when it leaves the category of me'ila. Meaning everything up to that point,
okay,
if it's done correctly, and the Kohen now has permission, a shat heter, then we say, you know what? There's no longer me'ila here, and we'll explain the logic momentarily. Right? If you look in the Mishnah really talks about it, but Rashi says, Ein mo'alin ba delo karina be mikodshei Hashem. You have to be, in order to violate, to transgress me'ila, it has to be mikodshei Hashem, from the holy things of Hashem. If the Kohanim are already eating it, it's not uniquely God's. And since it's not uniquely God's, there's no me'ila relevant in that case. Whereas the flip side, again, if all the cases that we discussed above, which the Mishnah is about to remind us of, are all cases where it became pasul before the Kohanim were allowed to eat. Therefore, when you benefit from it, whose stuff are you, so to say, benefiting from? It's still God's because the Kohanim were never allowed to eat it. Okay. So, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I was just looking at Rashi where it says, "Oh, she'shachtam betzafon," and he says there. He says, "Vayom bechishaba layem la'achwan chutz lizmano dahino pigul v'yesh makorid." So I thought that they have to be slaughtered in the north.
They do. Right. And that's why Rashi adds on, in order to make it possible. If they have to be slaughtered in the north, Rashi is saying, the case in which they slaughtered in the north, and Rashi had, by the way, Rashi just had a slightly different gear, so do you see our fourth line? It says, Osha Shachtan. You see Osha Shachtan? The fourth line. Everybody see the fourth line? Osha Shachtan?
The fourth line of the Gemara?
Of the Mishnah.
Yeah. Yes.
Osha Shachtan, everyone see those words?
Is that in brackets in yours?
No. Oh, okay. It's there in mine, but Rashi had the word Osha Shachtan Batzafon Chutz Lizmano V'Chutz Limkomo. So Rashi is saying, what does it mean, Osha Shachtan Batzafon? Bayom, at the meaning, or he didn't have the word Batzafon. The printer who added the period after the word Batzafon assumed that Rashi had the word Batzafon, but it's possible that Rashi was just saying Osha Shachtan in the right place, at the right time.
Right.
But he thought
elsewhere.
That's what Rashi's coming to add over there,
that's
I believe. No. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So that's why Rashi's adding. That's what the case of Chutz Limkomo or Chutz Lizmano is. Not that he actually did it in the wrong place and wrong time. He did it in the Tzafon.
Yeah.
He did it right during the day. However, it just he thought the wrong things. These are the six cases where there is Mila. And then again, we had the rule of Rabbi Yehoshua.
Okay, so I also have this question, which is sort of like a sideline.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought, based upon the wording of, and how Rashi explains it elsewhere in Torah, that is the Baal that does the shochtim, not does the slaughtering of the sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
not the Kohanim.
The Yisrael is permitted to, yes.
Yeah, well, they're supposed to, apparently.
Ideally, yes.
Okay. So where would that person do that? Would he do it within the temple itself, within the.
So there's right at the edge of the right of the edge of where Yisraelim can go, if I remember correctly. Yeah. I haven't learned Kachim. The little that I have learned is a very long time ago, but I believe that. That's the case.
And again, does the Me'ilah count if the person who does the Shochtim has the wrong intent at the time that he does the Shochtim? Does that make it a pigul too?
That seems to be what Rashi's talking about.
Well.
Right?
That's what I'm asking.
Right. Osher shachtan batzafon bayom v'chishav alehen le'ochlan chutz l'zmanan.
Right.
Now, he can't really be thinking. Well, it's a question of who's the Bailam here, because he's not eating it at all. Right now we're talking about Kodesh Kodashim.
That's why I had the question.
So the presumption here is that the Kohen is the one slaughtering it, and he'll have access to eat it.
Okay.
If the Bailam of the Korban, I don't remember by Kodesh Kodashim, if the Bailam can get that close enough to slaughter it. I think certainly Kachim Kalim, where you have the Bailam that are enjoying it, the Bailam can get close enough. Kodesh Kodashim, I don't remember. But again, that's just a lack of general knowledge in these areas on my part. Okay, let's continue. Ezohi shehaya lashateter lakohanim. So the Mishnah goes on to put the two together. In which cases was there no time of heter to the kohanim? Okay, shelana. So okay, sorry. Ezohi shehaya lashateter lakohanim. I jumped a line there. Which is the one which had a point of permission for the Kohanim, and that the Kohanim were permitted to eat it for some amount of time. Three cases. Shalana, number one, if it was left overnight, okay, meaning beyond its time frame, which case you may no longer eat from it. However, the Kohanim did have permission to eat from it at that time. Okay, that's the case of Lana, right? And again, you can go through the specifics in Rashi over here, okay? Number two, vishenitma'a, or the meat became tame in some way, then you can no longer eat it. Mm-hmm. Or visheyatza'a, or that it left the area in which it is permitted to be eaten. Okay, in all of these three cases, everything was done properly. The Kohanim were allowed to eat it, and someone, so to say, spoiled it. Right, that's what happened here. Ve'ezohi shelo hayala shateter lakohanim, and which is the case in which there was no time that the Kohanim were allowed to eat it? Well, all of the cases that we talked about above, really. Shenishchata, and the Mishnah just chooses a few. Shenishchata chutz lizmana, chutz limkoma, vishekiblu psulin vizarku etama. It says all the cases of chutz lizmana, chutz limkoma. In this case, by the way, it can theoretically, right? Rashi says, even though it mentions these two, it could have mentioned any of the ones at the beginning of the Mishnah, because they all pasal the korban before the Kohanim, meaning the Kohanim would not be permitted to eat it at any point in time. And it also adds into vishikiblu psulin, which Rashi says has two possible meanings. There's actually two sets of Rashis here. It's very strange. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to remember that we are very focused on the idea of dibur hamatchil in Rashi, that there is a specific citation from the Gemara, which Rashi quotes and then comments on. Okay, and this is true of a number of Mefarshim. We have what's called a Dibur HaMatchil, which is the opening statement, which again is a citation from the Gemara. Sometimes, however, certain Mefarshim, Rashi is not one that does this very often, but have a run-on comment in which the printer found, oh, these words were from the Gemara, and stuck in a new Dibur HaMatchil. And sometimes it makes it a little bit hard, makes it a little bit harder to read, but sometimes there are also duplicate Rashis. You have this on Chumash primarily when Rashi is quoting, let's say, a longer Medrash that he'll quote. And I'm sure, again, you are the Chumash Rashi expert here. You don't need to hear from me.
Yeah, the printer puts it in bold.
Yeah, and the printer will put it in bold, and you'll have a separate set here. If you look in Rashi, there's two actually separate sets of Rashi that talk about Vishakiblu Psulin, Vizarku Etama. One is opposite, one is about halfway down the page, and the other one is right at the end of the Mishnah, like you'd expect. So Kiblu Psulin can mean one of two things. Either, okay, it's someone who was Tame, the Kohen was Tame, and they're the one who did the Avodah over here, in Korbanot Yachid, where Tumah was not permitted. That's one option. Or number two, Bali Mumin, if a Kohen who had a Mum and was therefore unfit to serve at that time, accepted the blood. Again, the whole process has not been done properly, and therefore the Kohanim never have the opportunity to eat it. And same thing with Vizarku Etama, whoever sprinkled the blood had to have been someone who was permitted to do so as a Kohen. So that's the first Mishnah.
The Baalim, if they were doing the slaughtering too. The owners of the sacrifice. If they was Tohen himself, it would render it.
If he was a Kohen himself, one more time?
No, I was saying the person who brought the sacrifice was doing the slaughtering.
Yes, if he was Tohen.
Them as well.
Yes, yes. So, I don't know what the halacha is about Bali Mumin. Here we're talking about, right, this is not talking about Shechita, this is only talking about Kabbalah and Zrika, the two later things. Okay. I don't believe there is a din of Mumin with the Bailam, for Shechita, I mean.
Yeah.
And Tumah, sometimes you got to bring in Tumah, although, again, you can't get too close to anywhere. Okay. Says the Gemara. Okay, let's try to explain why each of these cases is necessary, as is common in the Gemara. Katani. Kochei Kadashim Sheshachtan Badaron Mo'alin Bahem. It was taught that Kochei Kadashim, which were slaughtered in the south, again, in the wrong place, Mo'alin Bahem, there is Mi'ila. Says the Gemara, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Mishum Dishchitatan Badarom Afikinun Midei Mi'ila? Just because you slaughtered them in the south, so they're going to suddenly leave the category of Mi'ila? Why? Why should slaughtering in the south make them lose their status of Mi'ila? Meaning, the assumption is, a korban is consecrated to Hashem. That's God's property. Just because I slaughtered it in the wrong place, maybe I made a pasul, but why does that make it no longer, why would I think that Mi'ila no longer applies? Answers the Gemara, which is something maybe some of you are thinking, but this is really our first exposure to Mi'ila. As Alachasal Kadaita Chamina, I might have thought, Ho'il sint vi'amar Ula amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Kodashim shemetu yatzu midei mi'ila dvar Torah, that on a biblical level, not on a rabbinic level as Rashi notes, and we'll talk about biblical versus rabbinic mi'ila at different points in the Masechet, but even though Ula says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that an animal which died on a biblical level is no longer relevant to mi'ila, meaning I consecrated my cow, my sheep, my whatever, it has a heart attack, and now someone comes and benefits from it. On a biblical level, they have not violated Mi'ila. So therefore, says the Gemara, since this is the halacha from Ula in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, okay, Hachanami, I would think here too, Kodshei Kadashim legabei Darom, that Kodshei Kadashim, which need to be slaughtered in the north, if they're slaughtered in the south, what would I think? Says, it is pasul, but what would I think about Mi'ila? I would think, Kima Dechanikun dami. It's like you choked it to death. Right? If the halacha is that you have to slaughter in the north, and you slaughtered it somewhere else, says the Gemara, I would assume that's equivalent to simply killing the animal. Like as if you, right, if you took a bow and arrow and shot it in the head outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? That's a case of an animal that died after it was consecrated. Now, shooting it in the head may be a bit more of a purposeful act, and maybe Mi'ila in and of itself at that time. But let's say, again, it just choked to death. It was eating lunch, and it had some bones, and it choked to death and died. So I would think that maybe having had it slaughtered in that place, at that point, Mi'ila is no longer relevant. Why? Because it died. Just like the case of the animal that died, biblically speaking, has no Mi'ila. So too, this animal died. It happened to die because someone slit its throat with a knife, but again, at this point and on, I would therefore think that there is no Mi'ila, and therefore comes the Mishnah to tell us, Kamash Malan. Korashim Shemetu Lo Chazu Klal. Okay? What's the difference between them? Why is it, in fact, that there is a difference? The Mishnah comes to teach us that Korashim Shemetu, holy animals, again, consecrated animals that died, Lo Chazu Klal. Those are completely
invalid.
And not just invalid, but not even relevant. Not even seen, literally, is what the word chazu. Not fitting at all. They're completely out, as Rashi tells us, right? This action, okay, would never, such an animal would never be permitted in any capacity to be brought as a korban. However, that's the way Rashi explains it, however, aval darom, but when it comes to slaughtering on the south, nehi de'eino ra'ui lekodshei kadashim, even though you can't do it for Kodshei Kodashim, nevertheless, Avara'uhu l'Kodashim Kalim. Kodashim Kalim are permitted to be slaughtered in the south. Therefore, it's not that this action is completely irrelevant to the Beit HaMikdash, to it being Hashem's property. It's just invalid in this case. So when something is invalid in this particular case, but is a relevant act that some animals which are God's property have done to them, then it does not take them out of Me'ilah entirely. It's not the same as, again, choking somewhere else. It's not the same as being hit in the head by a stray bullet. Since it was slaughtered in a way that other korbanot are slaughtered, it's still relevant to Me'ilah. Okay? Let's just start on the next part. I see we're right up against the clock over here.
No,
still
10 minutes.
No, maybe
a quarter after.
No, no, today's five after, I think.
It's today. It's Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. Okay? So we'll just ask the Gemara, Lama li lamitni kolhane? And the Gemara asks, and this is what I made reference to earlier, why do I list all of these? Tzricheh, we need all of them. Itana shachtan badaron vekibul daman betzafon. Okay? If it would have told us that you slaughtered in the south and you did the Kabbalah Saddam in the north properly, hacha, here I would say, di'it bihu mi'ila, why is there mi'ila in that case? Mishum de Kabbalah betzafonhu. Because the Kabbalah Haddam was done in the right place. Right? It was done properly. And the Kabbalah Haddam, we assume, is more critical than the Shechita. The Shechita, what's Shechita? But Kabbalah Haddam, that's significant. Right? Aval shachtan batzafon vekibul daman badarom. But if you had a case where you slaughtered in the north and you accepted the blood in the south, ho'il vekibul badarom hu nafik midei mi'ila. You would have thought that in the case where you did the main thing, Kabbalah Saddam wrong, that doesn't have Me'ilah. V'itana hai, but if it would have just said that one, hava mina yamama zman hakravahu. If it would have just said the first two, I would have thought this is only during the day that it remains in Me'ilah, because the day is a time that we bring all korbanot. Aval shachta balayla v'zarak bayom, layla loves man hakrava. I would have thought, meaning again says, and this works very well with Rashi that we saw before, I would have thought that it's true. If you messed up the Shechita or the Kabbalah Saddam in the wrong place, fine. That remains in Me'ilah. Why? Because it's somewhat relevant. Shechita is for sure relevant. Kabbalah Saddam, what? Kabbalah Saddam is essential. But again, the bottom line is, the Darom is a place which, as we said before, is somewhat relevant to Kedusha, even if it's not appropriate for this animal. But I would have thought that if you did it the wrong time, do we shecht during the night? We don't shecht at night ever. So I would have thought that that's no good. Okay, and again, that's what the Gemara says here. Aval shechta b'layla, right, hava, I mean, I would have thought, yimama zman hakrava, who a day is the time. Aval shechta b'layla v'zarak bayom, layla la zman hakrava. Okay? V'hai d'shachar b'layla, and if you slaughtered at night, aim, I would have said, enafik midei mi'ila, that it does go out of mi'ila, comes the Mishnah to tell us, no. Okay? And we'll stop with this. Again, why is it in fact, okay, that this is the case? We'll see, I guess, tomorrow. Right, Laila, if you see Rashi, Rashi goes on to it. We'll go back over this tomorrow. Just I don't want to go too close to davening, and we're already 4 minutes away. Okay, have an excellent day.